Welcome to the NBA Roadshow, episode number 111. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me in Dallas, Texas.
What up?
My hometown.
Yes, good town.
It is a good town. And special guest Fiasco Jones is back in the building as well.
Wahoo! I added that little flourish at the end.
Right.
Fucking hate you.
Wow. It's so loud, and I knew it, and I forgot all about it.
I was looking right at you. I was like, you know it's coming. All right, whatever.
Volume down.
I know. I just turned it down. That's what I get for trying to multitask. I was like, I'm gonna fix the WordPress site while we're all doing this intro.
Post-production, my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Do some levels.
You can't fix that. When it's peaked out, you can't fix that.
Oh, man. All right. We are in town for UFC 211, Miocic versus Dos Santos 2. A sick card, man. I mean, dude, this is, you know, obviously the UFC has to market the way they market and sell things the way they sell. You know, they got a product to sell. But, you know, when every preview says this is the best card of the year so far, there's no lie, man. This card is stacked.
Yeah, this card's sick. Top to bottom.
Top to bottom. I will say I was
well,
having
maybe not the very bottom.
Oh, not the very top to like the knees. It's stacked. Now you know it's funny. I was talking actually to some UFC folks earlier tonight. The one thing I am interested to see, not that I'm a big like follower of the business side. Like I want to know what the ratings are. I want to know what the pay per views. You know, I'm more just into like covering the sport and the fighters and that sort of thing. But it will be interesting to see how this does on pay-per-view, because it is a loaded card. Like, there's a ton of good fights, but it doesn't have that one. I mean, certainly, like, Conor, Ronda, they're in, like, an echelon of their own. Brock, you know, obviously two of the three of those are probably done, but those are on. I mean, you can't really count them. But you've got other people that, you know, kind of sell pretty well, and I don't feel like anybody on here, like, necessarily sells particularly well, so it might be a little bit of a struggle.
Yeah.
But it's a damn good card.
It really is, and I was just thinking about that. Masvidal did his part. He tried to talk a little bit, but, you know, if you don't have the other half chiming in as well, you're not going to get too much coming there, you know.
Right.
But you're right. And then, you know, now all those Henry Cejudo fans that wanted to watch that fight, you know, they maybe won their money back.
Sucks to lose
but,
that one.
Yeah, that one I was looking forward to. But you're right. There's not a lot of heat from any of these fights. I mean, not saying that they're not good, but you're not getting that angle where somebody's like, oh, this person really hates that person. I just want to see them knock them out, you know?
So weird that, like, that's what we need, right? Like, I mean, Junior and Stipe are, like, two of the nicest dudes ever.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so, like, it's, like, awesome. You're like, man, good for both those guys. Like, I love them both. I'm so excited.
Can no one lose in this fight?
Let's have a draw.
Well, think about it. Say you have your favorite pizza that you love, but you always put that hot sauce on it that you always eat it. And if you don't have that hot sauce on it, which that's my analogy for all the shit talking.
Okay, got it. Oh,
you have that. You'll have your pizza, and you're like,
thanks
oh, it's good.
Spelled it out for me. I appreciate it.
I had to lay it out there. You know, you have that pizza. It just doesn't taste the same. You know, you still enjoy it, and you're like, oh, it was really, really good, but something was missing. Something was missing. And I think right now we're so used to every fight there's some element, there's some aspect of somebody that doesn't like somebody to the point of where they just ratchet up all the crap talking.
It's
and we're
weird,
not
right?
getting at this
It's
one.
Weird, right? Because, like, we all like the sport, right? I mean,
well,
I mean, you don't, obviously.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, we all like the sport for what it is. But it is weird. Like you said, it is as ridiculous as your analogy is.
Pizza without the hot sauce.
It is the pizza without the hot sauce. I mean, like, you can appreciate the skill of it. But that hot sauce does add a little something.
Here's the thing, though. Continuing with this absurd analogy, there are some people that actually just like a pepperoni and cheese just as it is. And I think those are the core fans, which this card caters to. The
right.
people who give a shit about this sport mm-hmm. see this for what it is, and they see this as like that. This is, yes, I do love. Yeah, are they shit-talking? No. But they love the fact that these are the matches they wanted to see. They know they can recognize this is a great fucking card.
It is, and you're right. And I'd rather go this route than like somebody manufacture something. You know,
yeah,
it
right,
was funny
yeah.
during the open workouts today. I was like, Junior, I'm like, you know, you're not really a trash talking kind of guy. I was like, but if you were forced to talk trash, what would you say? He was like, okay, hold on. He's like, kind of laughed a little bit. And he was like, all right, hold on. He's ugly. And he was like, I don't know what to say. And it was like, yeah, you're not very good at this at all. You know?
Obviously, you would hit him at the Ohio connection.
Ooh.
Yeah, because that's shameful.
It's a beautiful state.
Shameful.
What? No, let's see. Your input 3. What? Say something again.
Uh-oh, don't attack the producer. Don't attack the producer.
Oh, man. All right, we'll get into the card in a second. I do want to say, so first of all, I did mention my hometown. It's awesome to be back in Dallas. I got to say, Cold Coffee killed it. I'm actually staying – tonight I'm crashing here, but I've been staying with my family while I'm in town because, you know, I don't get to see them very often. Cold Coffee did the Airbnb route. Mm. Bro, you nailed it up in here. We're in your place now. You got a loft on the edge of Deep Ellum, which is a cool-ass little neighborhood. It's alive and vibrant again, a little downtown area. Yeah. It kind of died off for a while. I grew up here, and I used to go see music there all the time when I was a teenager. And then it kind of died off for a while, and it's coming back in cool bars and restaurants, and you're, like, right on the edge of that, super close to the host hotel, super close to everywhere.
Close to all the events.
And this place, for, like, $100 a night, dude?
Yeah.
It looks like a hipster vomited all over. Every wall has some kind of, like...
It's eco-friendly.
Yeah,
vomit.
Yeah. The ceiling has dirt sprayed onto it that I'm pretty sure is falling into our mouths. It has umbrellas... just for decoration, hanging from the pipes.
Okay, now, in fairness, this used to be a photo studio, so I think those are, like...
purposeful?
Diffusing-type umbrellas,
no,
right?
No, because you can see there's a hook. That's the handle. You don't
so
use
it's not
that.
Actually a diffuser.
And you also don't use
umbrella.
A red umbrella to diffuse light in a photo situation.
All right, so Fiasco not
wonder
quite
what those
as
pipes,
excited.
Yeah, what hung down from the pipes, because it's the same one that runs the fire...
It's just a fire hazard, Kenny. This is just literally some hipster's idea of like, well, that pipe needs something. Let's put some umbrellas on it.
But regardless, the pictures look great. There's lots of artwork on there. There's books. They're like, they encourage you to read the books. They're like, do it. Make it your own. But they're like, if you stay more than 3 days, can you water the plants? Nobody's ever asked to water plants. I actually watered the plants this morning.
It's called guilt.
But it's like, don't touch the crystals. Those are very special to me. There's like different crystals. Energies, y'all. Energies.
Wait, wait, wait. You said don't touch the crystals. You don't mean like crystal glassware. You mean like actual crystals?
No. Like even look on like the jug. There's like a crystal inside with a plant. And I think there's other crystals around.
Oh, that's a technically a crystal.
Don't touch it.
You don't want to touch it. It's power.
But I got really, really lucky. The pictures didn't do it justice how big this place is for the money and stuff. So it's
dope.
It's been nice. Fun. Like last night, all the different – we had like 7 different journalists that came in here and hung out. So that was kind of cool. And we never normally
get together.
In a place
that's $100 a night, you can't do that in a hotel room, 7 people.
Yeah. I will say it's pretty big.
It is.
Yeah, that's what she said.
I was waiting for that. It was funny. I was actually talking to UFC matchmaker Mick Maynard earlier today. He's coming out to Vegas during the summertime. He's renting a place for a couple of weeks, and he used Airbnb for the first time. Nice. It was actually, he didn't even know. He was like, somebody told me about this B&B. Well, he's Australian, so that was not really a good Mick Maynard at all. But
G'day, John.
Oi!
I did Airbnb.
Oi,
he called it just B&B. He was like, I did that B&B
thing.
It's a
B&B.
Yeah. He did good. So, all right, good stuff. Listen, I actually drove out here this time. I did not fly. I drove out here.
No shit.
1,225 miles. I did it in 18 and a half hours. Pretty proud of myself. It was myself, my wife, my kid, my dog. Could have been a lot faster, except my dog, Boo, our new dog, the new addition to the family, started puking before we even got out of Vegas. Like, I guess has never been in a car before. It's a rescue dog.
Yeah.
I don't know if it just has never taken a trip or what the hell is going on, but started puking before we even got through Henderson.
Poor dog.
Setting the tone for a difficult journey.
You rescued him only to torture him for an 18-hour ride.
All right. Yeah, he's been in the family for like a month. He's like, what the hell? He's like a day in the car?
Send me back
jerk.
In the kennel.
I'll tell you what else is funny. So I have a Kia Soul, which is not like the biggest car ever. We can kind of fit in it, but now that Eli's getting bigger and now that we have the dog, I was like, you know, I mean, bottom line is I can charge Gannett for it. Like, they're covering our travel. You know what I mean? So I'm not paying a plane ticket. And I'm not paying for a hotel. So I was like, well, I'll rent a car. You know, I don't have to put the mileage on my car. Big thing to me was I wanted to make sure that – so we rented a van, and I wanted to make – or a minivan, I should say. And I wanted to make sure it had satellite radio. You know what I mean? Because, like, dude, like a long road trip, like searching for radio stations, that sucked.
Why not Spotify?
Oh, I didn't know you could – I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, just – are you listening to podcasts, though?
Sometimes, yes. Some podcasts. And then I do a lot of Howard Stern. You know, I listen to a lot of Stern.
But what's the Spotify on your phone? It's like, don't you have to pay for it on your phone?
Well, yeah. If you had a premium account, like,
Who has a premium account on Spotify?
Stream that and run it into your car or whatever.
Do you pay for it? Do you pay for Spotify?
I don't even have Spotify.
But here's the catch. Here's the catch. Here's the free. Hey, Spotify, are you listening? If you pay for the premium, you can actually download all your songs and playlists to your phone.
So you have it offline.
So, yeah. So, like, when you hit those, like, dry spots where there's no
Wi-Fi.
You
can do that with Amazon Prime. You can download a bunch of
Amazon Prime has garbage music selection. Spotify is the way to go.
It's got some music. Maybe not your music, which
Amazon
is
has,
technically
yes,
garbage to start
some
with.
Some music, meaning not all the music, which Spotify has.
No death metal.
Well, I can tell you right now that they have all of Seaweed's albums except for one, which is really all you need during a long road trip.
Just
you
load up your Seaweed. And
Seaweed, yes. Beautiful Seattle product. Kind of a punkish sounding band. And now defunct.
I'm sure my family would just love me to load
Seaweed
up the Seaweed.
Wow, yes. Eli would definitely love Seaweed. In fact, you should start getting used to this kind of music because this is what Eli's going to be listening to very shortly. He's going to go back to the origins of great music and start listening to Quicksand and Seaweed and maybe some Fugazi.
God, I can't wait to hear what my kid listens to. That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, right?
So listen, I found I kind of feel guilty about this. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, it's a van I'm paying for. But so there were like four minivans there, and I literally got in each one of them to make sure the radio was not only did it have satellite radio, but the subscription was up. Because, you know, they never pay for the subscription. They're like, they use like the free year, and then that's it. So I found a van that literally only had – it had 2,900 miles on it, and I took that one. And I feel so bad because, like, I'm literally going to put, like, 3,000 miles on it, like, this week alone and, like, bring it back with double the mileage. Like, hey, sorry, I took your brand-new van and drove it across the country.
They sell them so quick anyway, so I'm sure they're just going to be like, well, I guess we got to sell this one sooner.
It's got 6,000 miles done.
Yep. Got the money out of it.
It's been a pretty cool week, though, I got to say. I've gotten to see my mom, my dad. My kid's fifth birthday is Friday, May the 12th, so obviously we're sitting down recording this the way we always do on Thursday night. By the time you listen to it, it'll be my son's fifth birthday, which, Jesus Christ, time
crazy
passes by.
I appreciate that.
Man, yeah. So it's been cool. I will say I did hear that the event itself, UFC 211, is sold out, pretty much sold out. So even if it doesn't do good at the pay-per-view numbers, I think it's going to do good pay-per-view. I don't think it's going to do, like, you know, strong, like, million buy.
Yeah.
Good. But it sounds like it's sold out.
How big is the arena?
You can see it about like 16,000.
So maybe a million at the door?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's a pay-per-view, so they will. All right. Let's see. I guess just say you. I drove in. You took the red eye in.
I did.
It seems like it was such a short period of time. Well, Ultimate Media Day was Wednesday. 14 fighters at the Ultimate Media Day, which just goes to show you how stacked this card is when you bring 14 fighters. But I will say, man, 14 fighters, and we had like less than an hour to get to them all. Like that's
probably
hard,
some of the most
man.
Most fighters that they've ever had, and they had the least amount of time they've
it's
ever given us.
It's such a difficult balance for the UFC because I know exactly what they're thinking, right? Like, they're booking this, and they want to make all these fighters available, but they also don't want the fighters to be, like, sitting there with nothing to do because that's awkward and uncomfortable, you know what I mean? But, like, I mean, I know we're weirdos that we want to get to everybody, but 14 people in, like, an hour?
Now, I was stuck in the studio shooting our top 10 TV show.
Garbage.
So I wasn't able to go to the media day. Was it like 14 guys? 14
simultaneously.
Okay. Wow.
At the house, they had two different sides, so you had all the opponents on. Blue side was over here, red was opposite of them, except for the main event, which was literally like 4 feet apart.
That's pretty funny.
So
they always
everything
do that.
They could say, like, literally the opponents.
They always
hearing.
Do that, but it's like it was like a tiny little
it
stage.
Was like
so they
tiny
were literally
stage,
just
so they were even closer than they normally would.
It
was,
I don't want you to hear this, but he's a piece of shit.
This was the two perfect people to be able to do it
to. Well, no, I like the guy. I mean, he's handsome. He's
oh, look at him. I could look at that shirt he's wearing. You can just reach over and tug on it, you know. It was crazy because, you know, the amount of time – and one, the media turnout was decent. It was very, very good.
Strong.
So it wasn't – it'd be one thing if it was just, say, me and John and the room's empty. We're going to have a hard time getting around all 14 by ourselves. But put in a bunch of other media guys, and at that point we knew it was an impossible task. Because then you have to start thinking, well, who can we get to? Who are going to have the next day? Because it was interesting where – normally, you know, you'll have some of a lot of people working the media event or going, as talent or whatever at the media event, but then they're going to the open workout. So we can say, all right, well, we'll maybe see them tomorrow. But 10 of the guys that were at the media day weren't going to be at the open workout. So that's the only time that they set up for you to even see these people. And I think they either go in intending that everybody's not us, where they're weird and just going to try to get everybody. So they're like, well, we can check mark the box that says we made them available, and then right. we can wash our hands of it. You know what? But unfortunately for media that's there, we immediately were like, all right, you're making them available. It's our job to get them,
right.
to shoot them, to put them out there. But if you'd only give us 45 minutes,
it's tough.
It's almost impossible. And, you know, it's like we're willing to interview them, but give us the time. You know, for that many people, it should have been at least an hour and a half, a two-hour block where people can have, like, decent interviews. What was nice enough is that most of the time, even though these are typical scrum interviews, everybody was kind of getting their little one-on-ones. You know, we'd come line up yeah. and we'd kind of get behind. So then there's a little bit of a cue, because last thing you want to do is have an interview going on. You want to come up and give a scrum, and then you ask a question that was just asked 3 questions ago. You know, one, it's just it's you kill
tough.
The flow
it's
of an interview.
It's kind of like everybody wants to kind of have their one-on-one time.
Right.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, you're right. Like, we're literally all just walking up and asking the same questions over and over. Like, yeah. I wish people would understand, like, just scrum, dude. It's cool.
Right.
It's
and
cool.
And right. there does need to be a little more policing of that. It's like when they start seeing these, like, lines queuing up, that it's like, no. You got to – I could understand for some major outlets like you guys and maybe some other unnamed outlets that, yeah, you may give a little extra, like, if you need a one-on-one, but that has to be – cleared in advance,
right?
But it should be, you know, people should be like, no, guys, no, there's no lines. We have an hour, just go.
Yeah. And I honestly think, you know, you think about like the backstage interviews with winners. I mean, not that, you know, we're all not great interviewers and whatever else, but honestly, I think at the end of the day, like the product you get ends up being better when you have like you're basically crowdsourcing questions, you know,
right?
What I mean?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Kind of
because you're flowing together. I mean, like, you know, I don't need to ask how you feel right now, because it just got asked here. You know, I can start asking strategy. Mm-hmm. I can ask this, you know, and everybody just kind of plays off, you know, and just a bunch of follow-up questions. And you're right. It goes quicker. You're not, you know, like most of us, we're not going to be on the camera anyways. So it's not like I need to be on there and say, hey, guys, blah, 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 and waste 30 seconds with an intro and stroking my ego. We just get to the point of it, you know? So
a little behind the scenes on
I will say, though,
how,
like,
we think it should work.
A little more inside baseball is that the one catch in a production level is your positioning.
Yeah.
If you get that poor positioning,
that's true.
You're kind of effed, and you
definitely. Well, that's why MMA Junkie gets there first.
Well, you know what? Just to talk about, I'm going to talk about some other things and say. But since you bring up positioning,
oh, here we go.
Can we talk about what happened today at Media Day? Today or not Media Day? Open workouts, I should say.
Yeah.
So open workouts were today, and I got to say, number one, amazing crowd. We showed up. The doors opened at 11. We showed up at 10 just because we wanted to make sure we had, like, a place to park. We actually had, like, a little video shoot we wanted to do ahead of time. We're starting to do, like a daily kind of just
set up for the day, like a daily
social
calendar sort of
thing. Yeah, kind of like a social.
With mainly being a social output.
You know, put it on Twitter, put it on Facebook, like, hey, by the way, don't forget, you know, we're in Dallas. It's open workouts today. You're going to hear from these people, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, easy.
Yeah.
So we want to do that. We got there at 10 o'clock, man. There was a line around the door of the gym.
Wow.
Of fans to get to the open workouts, which was awesome.
Dallas showed up, and it was neat because later on, and go back to the story, but later on we went to the second workout. One of the women that I saw at the first one, she made it a point to say that Dallas was trying to represent. They're like, it's been a while since we've been here, so we want to have a good showing. We want them to keep coming back. And if in the sheer terms of the turnouts at the events that were made public, Dallas showed up.
Dude,
so I'm looking
I'm
forward
telling
to
you,
what
man.
The weigh-in.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm telling you, I mean, of all the events we go to, seriously, this is one of the, and not just because my main, you know, my hometown or whatever,
right.
but like literally it was one of the loudest crowds, the biggest crowds, the most, like, that we've seen at any open workout in recent memory. It was solid.
Well, they had really, well, it helps that they had solid, solid fighters as well.
Yeah.
But every person that came in had a warm reception, a loud reception. The crowd was interacting them.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Cool.
I love it when they start chirping back and forth. And the fighters were receptive. You know, somebody was yelling, OH for Stipe. He was giving them the callback. IO. You know, people were, even when Jessica showed up, right from the get-go, people were very receptive. You know,
you could tell people loved her. Joanna, the star around Joanna is growing, man.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's
That's
growing.
Awesome.
But it was good because they even gave her opponent love as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they definitely showed themselves to be like a respectful engaged crowd. I mean, like, I think a lot of cities, if they can mirror like what Dallas has been doing,
strong.
It's going to be it'd be a good effort.
And I gotta say, it was so cool, man. Junior Dos Santos actually pulled my son out. My son was there at the crowd. Pulled my son out of the crowd.
Yeah.
Like kind of boxed them a little bit. Played
fun
with
them.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it was amazing, man. It was the coolest
thing. Yeah, he was like front and center. Put his gloves on him and stuff.
If Eli doesn't grow up to love MMA, something's.
I know, right? Like, if he's like, man, I think MMA sucks. I'm just like, well.
You know what? I really like.
He's
soccer.
Going to be an actor. He's going to be an actor. I'm going to get him into theater and teach him jazz hands.
Right, so let's talk about positioning, right? So we get to Moeller MMA, which is a local team here, local gym. It's been around for a long time. It's a good, well-known, established gym. So we get there. We go set up inside. You know, Colt Coffey's going to be shooting the workouts. I'm going to be shooting the scrums. That's how we normally do it.
Right.
So we go to set up at the scrums. Now, it's a smaller gym. I mean, I shouldn't say it's a smaller gym. It's a big gym, but it's still a gym. You know, it's not like we're in a performance center or whatever, right? So we're kind of in this little area. We're tucked in a corner, and it gets a little crowded over there, right? But, you know, Colt Coffey and I were first. We set up front and center the way we do. You know, yeah. I had my thing right here. Put the mic stand right there that we provide for everybody, right. You know, to make their lives easier. Good setup. We do the first scrum with Jessica Andrade, but it's crowded over there. It is. It's definitely crowded. We're
media
kind of
kept,
in a little corner.
They kept showing up. Even by the time that everybody was set up, more media was coming because it took them a while. There were so many people at the door, a lot of media. There wasn't a separate media entrance, so they're getting queued up with everybody else that's queued up to try to get inside mm-hmm. an already over full gym.
What's the estimated head count we're talking about?
There was at least 200 and some probably.
Total people, yeah, not
oh,
just
but
media.
Like,
yeah.
But like media, when you're talking about this media crowding up.
There
like,
was there was a lot of media.
Had to be 40 or 50.
40 to 50.
Whoa!
Counting photogs
yeah.
and video.
It was strong. So yeah. we're all kind of packed in this little area, but we get it done with Jessica Andrade. We make it happen, right? But afterwards, I guess, well, first of all, it's kind of funny. Our buddy Adam Hill was texting a buddy of his back at UFC HQ, basically just talking shit, but kind of playful with him. But his buddy actually called like the crew, the rest of the PR crew that was on the ground.
Threw him
and
under
like,
the bus.
Yeah, threw him under the bus. He's like, hey, Adam just called me, and he said it's a jacked up setup. You guys really need to fix something. It was like,
oh.
Yeah. Hilarious. Yeah, so this was kind of funny. But so they did. I guess they reacted. They were like, all right, well, this is kind of, you know, screwed up. So they said, well, we'll relocate. Actually, we're going to move the scrums into there was like a little mini octagon, like a mini cage, right? But
okay.
it was a bigger space than we were. They're like, we'll move them into there. Cool, right? So everybody starts to relocate. Well, local news guy who wasn't even in the scrums to begin with puts
who was,
his camera
who
front
was stuck
center.
At the back because he was too lazy to get over there and didn't know what was going on, which is understandable. You're local news, you don't work the circuit. So he's in the back. So obviously when they make a move, he's already halfway there.
So yeah. Everybody's already scrambling to move. And I'm like, well, there's no reason for me to scramble. Like everybody knows where everybody was.
Right.
Everybody knows I was here front center. And not only that, a lot of people left their microphones on the mic stand. And I needed to move the mic stand. So I was like, you know what? What I'll do is I was like, I'll just like, you know, I'll disconnect the wires or whatever because I can't carry all these wires.
Right.
But I'll disconnect the wires. And I'll carry the mic stand with these microphones that are still here because some cameras were still in position. You know, I was like, I'll move this over. I'll set that there. And so I get over there, and the scrum is now reset, and it's packed, right? And this dude is front and center in my spot. Local news guy is right there. At this point, Pam does make an appearance. That's passive-aggressive Morgan. Does make a little bit of appearance. And I'm like, say, man. And I did try to be polite at first. Say, man, you mind if I just squeeze right in between you? Like, you know. Knowing you have no damn business being there, but I'm like, you mind if I just squeeze in between you and Dave Mandel there from Sherdog? You mind if I just squeeze right there? And he's like, man, but I'm going to be standing right here. There's not going to be any room. I'm like, no, man, I'll turn sideways. I was like, just let me get my gear in there. Like, we'll be fine. Let me just get it right in there. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, so you're not going to let me in? And he's like, no. I'm like. I was sitting front center. I got here before anybody. I sit in front center. They moved the location. I'm like, and you're not going to let me back into the position that I had. He's like, once they said move, I moved, and I was here first. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? I'm like, that is ridiculous. That is fucking ridiculous. I'm like, but you know what, bro? As long as you feel good about yourself, man, we'll just do it. I'll find something. I'll figure out another way. You know, like, as long as you feel good about yourself being a dick right now, then, hey, man. Do your thing, bro. Do your thing. I'll find something else. At that point, unfortunately, I would say Dave Mandel, Casey from MMA Fighting, Luke Thomas, actually, they were all very nice about, hey, you know what? We can move this. We'll, you know, come right, on, John. Right. Come on, do this. And they were awesome. They were great. But this dude was an absolute dick.
Describe him. Was he just a photog, or is it an actual reporter?
He was a Fox 4 photog. I'm looking on their sports page, and I don't see one fucking USC clip at all. Like, what did you do? Why were you there? Except to fucking get a paycheck and say that you were there. I'll remember him. I wonder if he's going to come out even fight night or something.
And it was funny because I heard people. In fact, I think it was Heidi Fang was telling me earlier that, like, that guy started talking about it like later in the day, and he's like, you know, I don't care who that guy is. I'm like, it's not about who I am. I didn't pull the bro, do you know who I am card. It's not that. It's that, like, I was there already. We moved. Can't we just rebuild the same way? Like, well, isn't that common sense? Like, that's
in the doggy dog world we live in. He was at the back, remember? And so he's like, no, I found a way. Yeah, he's still a dick, still a huge dick, but
dick move. Luckily, our crew, the traveling road show that is this MMA circus, set up for me. So, all right, listen, I did want to talk to you real quick. We lost the one fight you mentioned, Cole Covey. We lost Henry Cejudo versus Sergio Pettis. Bummed about that, man. Super bummed about that because that was a great fight. Fortunately, this card's so deep, it doesn't really matter. Fiasco, I don't know if you have any insight or anything that happened. I did see it was kind of a weird situation because he came to the media day. Everything was good. He did the interviews. I'm imagining he was probably taping stuff with you guys and everything, and then all of a sudden he's just off the card. And I did see some people kind of talking some trash. But I will say he's already gone, actually. I was going to ask him if he wanted to, like, come over and sit down and, like, obviously maybe have a cold beer, you know, he got a fight
right.
And talk about it. But I talked to his team, and he actually he went home. He was obviously very upset and pissed off. And,
right.
And so he was like, nah, dude, I'm out. But I did see some video that his team may or may not release. I told him if they do, you know, we'll be happy to put it out for him. But of him basically over the last week or so, you know, dealing with some medical stuff and, like, literally, like, in excruciating pain as they were, like, trying to work with his hand. I mean, rough stuff. So if I did see – I know there's some people that don't like Henry and kind of just, you know, took it as a chance to bash him. But from what I saw, it was a pretty legitimate deal. He was going to try to fight through it, but essentially wanted to get a cortisone shot to kind of get through the pain. And the USC said, well, hold on. If we're going to give you a cortisone shot, you got to get it checked out. And then the doctors at that were like, bro, you can't fight.
No, I've actually heard it's a legitimate injury, and I can't really comment on anything else. But, yeah, it's a legitimate injury, and we were surprised as everyone else. He actually didn't make his interviews.
Really?
Yeah.
He was supposed to do them that afternoon?
He was supposed to do that afternoon, and it's like, oh, the fight's canceled. But
I heard he didn't want to fight just because he didn't want to do your interview.
He was scared of the interview.
He fabricated
this
injury.
He literally, yeah.
He was like, fuck Fiasco.
He's like, he doesn't want to see my face because he knows that this face right here can get the best answers.
You do have that way. Like, you just have a way.
I
just
can't pull, face the truth.
Yeah, I pull the answers out of people, and he's like, I can't do it.
He's like, I stand no chance.
He might ask me about my taxes or something. I don't know. So he
can't
definitely,
blame him.
He definitely bailed
him
on that because of me, and I apologize to everyone that wanted to see that fight because it's my fault. It's really just my fault.
You're a terrible person.
You don't want to sit in the chair, man. It's tough.
Under the hot lights with my face behind those two gleaming black eyes staring at you, snake eyes, just like, you just have to tell me everything
I
asked
you. Might have to go from Fiasco Jones to Snake Eyes Jones.
Yes.
Snake Eyes Jones.
What would you call that in Spanish? What would be his nickname?
Ojos de Snakey. I don't know what snake
great
is.
Spanish. I don't know. Like Serpentina.
Yes, I was thinking like some totally cool one, not that one.
Snakey. Ojos de Snakey.
I'm sorry. A snake.
I was like, I forgot Chupacabra to put that or something.
I'm terrible. My kid speaks more Spanish than me. It's awful. You know, Cole Cobb, you talked about something too. The quietness of Damian Maia. I've been kind of surprised about it, man. You know, Fernanda, our Brazilian reporter, was trying to, like, book some interview time with him before his fight. Obviously, it's a big fight. Maybe a title's on the line. Title shot, anyway, I should say. And I think he just, like, wasn't really down for it. Like, he was like, yeah, I'm good. You know, like, what? Like, this is, like, a huge fight, mm-hmm. You know? And it was kind of weird. You and I talked to him about it, and he was like, you know, I was like, was this on purpose? And he's like, yeah, kind of. Like, he's like, I don't really feel like there's anything to talk about. And, like, you know, I'll just save my energy for the fight. And I don't know. It's weird because I feel like – I mean, dude, he could win. I mean, I love this fight with Masvidal because it's so crazy. Like, they're both so good at what they do that, like, literally either one of them could kick the other guy's ass. You know what I mean? Like, it could be like a first-round finish either way. You know what I mean? Because one, you know, one of them is so good at what the other one doesn't do. And I feel – but – and Damian, I think, should be the number one contender at 170. But, you know, you got Tyron Woodley out there basically trying to find the biggest money fight available he can. He calls out everybody. You know, he just throws names out there just to throw it against the wall and see what sticks. And I feel like Damian has to do a better job of, like, making sure that he is the legitimate only name that comes to people's minds. And I'm surprised. And that doesn't mean you have to talk trash. Like you were talking about, you know, JDS and Stipe being nice guys. It doesn't mean you got to talk trash. But you got to talk something.
Yeah.
It's weird.
There's got to be a little bit of promotion. You got
to. I don't know. Maybe he's tired of just working himself up so much. You know, he had been asking for it and asking for it. And at some point, I don't know, maybe just got the point where he didn't want to be disappointed again. You know, he seems like a humble guy, but I can see where, you know, at some point, you know, it would become resentment. Mm-hmm. And then there's anger towards the organization. And maybe he just feels that. It's going to work itself out if he just stays focused and keeps winning. Because I think we'd all like to think that that is what would happen. If he keeps winning, eventually he's going to get it, you know. And but I could see where that'd be a lot of energy. I mean, it sucks. He's never been one to really, you know, I'm going to go out there and just talk as much crap to get it. I think he kind of tempered with it and started to do it. But I think it's not his nature. So I think if anything else, it was probably just something that was distracting him. And then at some point, you know, if you're not winning – you're not. It doesn't matter if you could have been the best shit talker in the world. Like, even towards the end, Chael was able to get himself into these fights.
Oh, yeah.
And then lost the fights. And then, you know, then it became like a joke. I think, I mean, he's at the point where he just wants to let his actions do it and let it play it out. And I respect him for it. Is it hard to make a clicky video or something where everybody wants to? He's certainly not making it easy for us to do the job. You have to kind of bring it out of him. But that's not his job, you know. So I respect it. So I guess it's sort of refreshing in the sense that you still have a fighter that's like, I'm not going to go down that route. That's so easy to go. Just like Junior. Junior's like, I'm not going to go down that route.
But look at Masvidal, man. On the flip side of that, Masvidal is like, he's like, first of all, Damian already should have had a title fight. It's ridiculous that he hasn't. Yeah. And if I beat him and I don't get one, the sport as a whole is screwed up. I love that.
But that I agree. But that's a guy on the verge right there. Right. Of if he doesn't, I mean, he's at the point where he's like, the sport's messed up. Like, he literally is teetering on the edge of if he doesn't. And with the win of Damian, he's not. I don't still see him getting that next title shot, even if he does win. And he's going to be freaking out. I just don't feel the momentum. He's got momentum.
He's got a streak, yeah.
He's got a streak going on, but I just don't – his name's not screaming to me like he's going to get that next nod. So I'm interested to see what he's going to do, but you can see in his face and how he's talking about this. He's thinking about that a lot. As much as he might say, I'm only focused on this fight, he's already beyond this fight. He's already thinking, like, I've already done enough to deserve it. And if he gets let down again – he's at the boiling point right now, and I think, if anything, that Maya's got to the point where he's like, he realized that he was at that verge of something really going wrong with his perception of everything, and he cooled himself down, and I think that's the better way to be, because he's, if anything else, he's going to go in more focused on this fight because he's at an evener base.
Yeah,
you know, he's at zero. Masvidal's going in already. He's amping himself up to 5 or 6 before it's even started.
Masvidal, man, you know, it's funny. We were kind of doing the scrum thing the other day at the media day, and a Brazilian reporter basically asked Masvidal what he thought about the way the UFC was treating Anderson Silva. Yeah, and I was like,
which at first sounded like it was
like, this is going to be a stupid question. I was like, why does it matter what Masvidal thinks about?
It was like, oh, it's a Brazilian asking about a Brazilian. It's like just every other one, but actually,
dude,
he gave
a great answer. Yeah. You know, he was like, you know what, this is going to take me a second to answer, but I got to say, man, I don't think it's fair the way they're treating Anderson. You know, he's like, listen, I understand that, you know, he didn't get the fight he wanted, and you had other plans. This and that. He's like, but this is Anderson Silva, man. Like, this dude is a legend of the sport. You know, look at all he's accomplished. Look at all he's done for you. Like, if there's one guy you should bend over backwards for to just do what you need to do to make him happy, it's Anderson Silva. I was like, look at you, Masvidal. Yeah. Like, I like it.
I loved it. I thought it was a great answer. And he earned a lot of respect. Mm-hmm. I already had respect for it. But here's a guy that's, I want what I deserve. So it'd be wrong if he didn't say it. But, yeah, I thought it was great. He was like, just give him what he wants. You know, like, you're in the wrong. Give him what he wants. And it was awesome to hear.
I have to say, we had Jorge in the chair earlier, I think yesterday.
He faced Snake Eyes?
Yeah, he faced the Snake Eyes. And
see?
God damn
that's
it,
a
that
fighter
guy
right
is
there.
An amazing interview.
Right?
He's a fan of the sport, number one. And he does have tremendous respect for so many fighters based on like on this great like just analysis of fighting. For that alone, and one, he's a great soundbite machine.
Yes, he is.
I respect
Gold.
Him so much.
Yeah.
Has
he always been like that, or has he gotten better last year?
Better.
Or so?
That's what's crazy. Is it?
I feel like this last year
forever.
Or so. Like,
he's been around forever, but yeah, it feels like everything's coming together. Like.
He's knocking it out of the park. Every time he gets in front of a camera, he is absolutely knocking it out of the park.
And I think he used to not like it much. I think he maybe used to not like doing the media. And I think maybe he's finally – I don't know if enjoying it is the right word, but realizing that, like, his words can be powerful.
He's realizing the vehicle of media. Yeah. He's understanding that this is important because, honestly, he literally – he kept saying, like, well, we have more questions. Ask me as many questions as you want. Because he understands what this vehicle means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is kind of where I kind of see the mistake with Maya is that, Maya's being the soldier. Maya's being like the stoic. He's trying to do what he believes he deserves.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the sport doesn't really work that way. It's just not pure math anymore. Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
It is entertainment.
Yeah.
Entertainment business.
You have to always add that to whatever your actual accomplishments are in the field with, can you make us money? Can you sell the next fight? And if Maya is going to be the stoic, he's not, you know? He will eventually, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't make magic.
And I love Maya, man. I love Maya.
Oh, fuck
and,
yeah.
I mean, his skills are amazing. He's so respectful. He's so polite. He's such a professional. And I love him, man. And if he wins this fight, which he certainly can, I think he deserves a title shot. But, yes, you don't have to be disrespectful, but I think you do have to speak up. And it's weird because I feel like he's been kind of like slowly talking a little bit, like saying like, yeah, I kind of feel I do deserve a title shot. And then all of a sudden, like right when it mattered the most, he just kind of like got quiet. And I don't understand it.
And there actually is no reason to be disrespectful. You can actually just simply say, these are my accomplishments and just hit the point. This is about me. And, you know, just do it, you know, add some flair, you know, add some like, you know, some little, you know, show to it. And guess what? You're doing enough where you're like, okay, sure, this guy's going to sell.
Yeah.
He's going to play the game.
That's funny. I don't think it'll ever make the light, but going back on Masvidal, Dave Mandel from Sure Dog showed me this little video, and I think – I can't know if he was before we got Jorge or not. He went up, and before he started doing the interview, he noticed that one of Masvidal's buttons was open so he could see like into his belly or something like that. And he's like, oh, hey, by the way, you know, your shirt's open or whatever. And he's like, these motherfuckers, I've had it like this all day and nobody said anything to me. Because he went on a rant about how he was kind of not anti-media or whatever. You know, he was playing his part, but he's like, these motherfuckers. So he proceeded like, he's like, well, how about I just take it off? How about I just take it off and I'll just do an interview with you with my necklace. And then he sort of pantomimes like taking his shirt off. So, you know, as much as he was like so focused and so serious yesterday, he was still being like a fun, lighthearted self that a lot of times and that's like a video clip that'll never make it out there because Dave's not going to go out there and just try to do it, even though I'm like, bro, that will fucking do some like
social
funny, great
yeah.
numbers or whatever. But it's stuff like that that you see from fighters that even while they can in 1 second be talking a lot of trash and they're so serious, still are able to flip that switch. And then you see this funny side that you're just like blown away by, and that
well,
you're just like,
it, man.
Man, I wish I could show this to
Have
people.
You guys been watching the embeddeds this week where, like, all the stuff that they've shown with Stipe,
yeah.
has been hilarious, man. You're really seeing, like, just – they're not really showing anything about fight prep. They're not really showing anything about – I mean, well, obviously, there's no trash talk or beef, so there's nothing really there.
It's
all, like, you know, him going on, like, random shopping trips and having fun and all. It's cool when you can see that stuff. I think – This is an interesting study in like card because all these fights are, I mean, they're really, really good fights. They don't have that trash. They don't have the hot sauce on the pizza.
Yep.
But it's still good fights, man. I guess we're going to find out.
It's a pepperoni pizza.
I guess we're going to find out. All right, well, listen, Frosty Beverages are getting a little low, so we're going to have to refresh those. Unfortunately, the bad side about being at Kenny's – who's Kenny? Cold Coffee's Airbnb is that we don't have a server here to take care of it. So we're going to worry up on that. While we do that, here's what I thought, Cold Coffee. I figured, you know what? Let's play some Sergio Pettis audio. What else are we going to do with it?
Whatever.
We got a quick little interview in the can. There's not a lot to it. We 14 people in an hour. Our goal was quickness – precision, in and out, direct, no softballs, no warm-up questions to kind of get them in the mood. Just get in there and do what you got to do.
Precision surgeon.
So, I like what you did there. Surgeon.
Ha-ha.
Sergio.
I didn't even mean to.
I don't know.
Sometimes you just fucking do it.
Exactly. I don't even know how it,
just
if it works
game
together.
Is on.
But.
Well, whatever.
All right, well, listen.
I'm sure I killed the moment regardless.
You did. We're going to re-up on Frosty Beverages, and while we do that, here's Sergio Pettis, who will not be fighting at UFC 211, but hey, why let this interview go to waste?
Sergio, you've obviously had expectations placed on you from the very beginning, but now you got this nice little win streak put together. Do you feel like maybe you're finally delivering on what everybody wanted to see out of you?
Yeah. I mean, I came in the sport at a young age, young mindset, and couldn't deal with it at the time. You know, a lot of pressure, and I believe I'm growing up and ready for these challenges. And as an adult, I want these challenges now, and I want to challenge myself. I don't want to take no easy route. Henry Cejudo, tough fight, and I'm going to go out there and have some fun this Saturday.
That's awesome. So it really wasn't so much the physical talent that you had to deal with. You felt like that was there. It was really just the mental approach to the game.
I would say both. You know, physically, I didn't take it as serious. You know, I was kind of just going out there. And like I said, I was in the UFC. I was young. I was like, you know what? I made it. But now I'm older. I have goals. And I believe I can be one of the best in this division. And I'm going out there and, you know, showing that and having fun doing it.
Very nice. Breakdown Henry, of course, two losses in a row, but, I mean, against the absolute best guys in division in a great fight last time out. So what do you see? I mean, do you feel like he's, I don't want to say past his prime, but, you know, maybe the sport's caught up to him a little bit? Or do you just feel like, you know, do you feel like he's still one of the top guys in division?
Oh, I mean, he's still young in the sport. He's only, what, 30 years old, 10-2. You know, I have more fights than the guy. But he's definitely doing good, man. He's doing what he has to do. And he's made some improvements. His last fight, he showed it. And I'm excited that he's, you know, improving his striking. That means he's going to try to test me out a little bit, and we'll see if he can handle that test.
Why'd you want him? Because he is a tough guy. He is coming off some losses, but he's a top guy. Why did you want him?
Honestly, it was just the next thing that they gave me. So I was like, Cejudo, for sure, I'm down. And I mean, he's a tough guy, you know, and I want to challenge myself as an athlete, as an individual, as a martial artist, and I believe this is the next step for me.
It's crazy thing, but you understand in this division, Demetrius has beat everybody, so it doesn't take much to be a number one contender because they're always looking for that fresh blood.
Yeah.
You beat a guy like Cejudo, I mean, do you start saying I'm ready for that, or do you say I still got a little bit before I'm ready for the title?
I believe I'm ready now. I'm still, you know, working my way up to that. This is just another test Saturday to go out there and pass this test, and if they want me to fight the next guy or if they want me to fight DJ, I'm down to do that. I think the division needs a new face, and I think I give DJ a different look than these guys.
Welcome back to the MMA Roadshow. That was Sergio Pettis. Obviously, we will not be seeing him fight, but I did think it was interesting that he's, you know, obviously he was assuming he was going to beat Henry Cejudo, but saying that, hey, I went over Henry Cejudo, and maybe I'm down for the title shot. And it's kind of crazy, but it's not, you know, well, definitely crazy now because it's not going to happen, but it's not crazy for him to be in that discussion, at least, if he picks up a win like that, because Demetrius Johnson, man. You know, ripping through the division, you got to find new talent there. So
that's true.
You never know. All right, listen, a couple quick news bites. I wanted to kind of get your guys' thoughts real quick. Dana White came out. He did a lot of interviews this week. Dana was doing some promoting, and I did see one interview where he said the FS1 prelims. They're FX prelims. Make sure everybody pays attention. But he did say he set a deadline of this week, Sunday, for Conor McGregor to get his side done, to agree to terms for the Floyd Mayweather fight, and then if we can get it done by Sunday, then he'll start working on the Floyd Mayweather side. I found this interesting. To me, you know, we saw this past week where Dana was at the ridiculous Canelo fight, which was just incredibly one-sided, and Dana was cornered by the boxing media afterwards, who basically, as it was explained to us right here in this Airbnb last night, they basically just leave press row and run to the exits and try to like corral people. Like, it's the most ridiculous system ever, but they got him. And Dana dropped a little nugget. You know, he said, listen, We lost our date tonight. You know, Triple G Canelo is going to be September 16th, and that was the date we were going for. We lost it. And Dana never releases details that he doesn't want known. The guy is a master promoter, a master negotiator. Things like that don't accidentally come out of his mouth. They get said for a reason. And to me, I thought that it was a kind of a warning to Conor, not necessarily so much to Floyd, but to Conor of like, hey, see what happens when you don't work with me. See what happens when we can't come to terms. All of a sudden, things disappear, and they go away faster than you'll ever know about. So, he's setting this deadline, and I think setting that deadline right on the heels of saying, we lost our date. See what happens when you drag your feet. To me, I think it was a very purposeful thing to do. But I'll say this, because when this whole Conor Floyd thing first started getting talked about, I was like, this is so stupid. And then along the way, I've said all along, I still don't think it's a competitive fight. That said, of course I'll see it. Of course I'll see it. Of course I'll want to be there and see the spectacle that will be this fight. But now that it seems like it may evaporate, I got to be honest. I would not care one bit if this thing went away. As much as I say that of course I wouldn't miss it, if it goes away and it means we get Conor back to fighting, back to the UFC, I would not give two shits. I would not feel like I lost something. Like, dude, we never got to see Conor and Floyd box. Like, oh, how did we not make that happen? I'll just be like, good.
No, I think you're right. I think that Conor coming back to the UFC is the better of the two options.
I agree.
Because I think that once you start going down this rabbit hole of the boxing element, he's gonna be sucked into that for a little while, and it just means less fights for UFC fans.
I agree, and I mean, I feel bad for Conor if it means it costs him tens of millions of dollars. I mean, obviously he's already a wealthy individual, and I think he'll continue to amass wealth. But you never want a guy. I mean, that's life changing money, and he's worked his ass off to get it. You know what I mean? So I would love for him to have that opportunity, win or lose against Floyd, but. I got to say, man, if it doesn't happen, I really won't feel like I lost something. I really won't feel like an opportunity went by. I mean, I'd feel bad for him that he lost the big money, but mm-hmm. I'm good. Get back, man. Get Tony Ferguson back in the mix. Get this Nate Diaz trilogy done at some point. Get just get this division going again,
That's the man that wants it back is Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, I feel like
He says he doesn't care. He cares.
Oh, he cares. That third match is what he's been waiting for. He wants this more than any of us.
I know that you can't say too much, especially because here's the thing that's weird to talk about this. Is like, we all have we all know a lot of people in and around the UFC, right? I mean, we all have sources. We all have friends. We all have relationships. But I feel like this particular one is so hard to really pretend like exactly what's happening because – there's a whole nother side. You know what I mean? Like, everybody in the UFC, including Conor and everything, we're in, guys. We agreed to the deal. Me, Dana, Conor, we're all on the same page. And then you still got to deal with the Floyd side, which I don't think any of us really – we don't have those boxing contacts, so we don't really know much about. So it's weird to be like, oh, yeah, I feel like we're moving in the right direction. You'd be like, well, the other doesn't get – so it's hard to know exactly what's going on. So it's hard to say what's going on. But I wonder, is there a feel around that beautiful new office? I mean, do people talk about it? Because I know every interview I do, every time I do a radio spot or something like that, the radio host will talk to me about UFC 211, and they'll throw a couple questions out there, and then they'll be like, I got to ask you, almost like, it gets brought up literally every single time. Is it water cooler talk over there at those beautiful new offices?
Just like anybody else. Yeah. So that's things that we're dealing with a black box, there's conversations happening outside of our purview, and there's definitely people who are interested in it. There's definitely people when it comes down to brass tacks, it's just that. It's just we know what we know, and like you said, there's a certain point where.
What do you know?
Yeah, what do we know? The unknown unknowns.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah.
Can you verify a story? Jumping off topic. Let's put your job at risk here.
Let's play job roulette.
Job roulette. I heard a rumor that you guys had to get permission or you were not allowed to hang up pictures or posters on your walls.
That was a super old rumor. when we were actually moving to the new building, there were like guidelines, and there was this like this like
everything had to be like Reebok.
Well, no, yeah, no, no.
Yeah, right.
It was kind of like, it was like
this,
I don't
picture brought to you by.
It was like a, this like misinterpretation or whatever of like, or maybe this kind of like just original idea of like we're just gonna have this like kind of a really pristine space. But that was so early before, like, before we even moved in, that like that kind of went out and said like no personal, you know, effects. And that quickly, like once people like heard that, like we're human beings, we have like a picture of my wife and this,
yeah,
and it literally lasted probably a day. And
so is it that it's just not being policed?
No, it's not. It's,
or they just said, forget it, whatever.
It literally was like, I think an idea from someone who just thought like, well, sure, let's do this, or maybe it was a misinterpretation of an idea, but. Either way, it lasted less than a day, and there was like, you know, the next day, like, no, we don't want you to think about it. You can bring your posters and this and that. If you actually walk through the office, you will realize how that is not the case, because
okay,
it's pretty much there's knickknacks everywhere.
I heard that and was like, wow, they're really making it friendly there. I heard that.
Yeah, no, not the
heard
case.
Heard that and some other little weird ones, but whatever.
I think it was like a rumor for us too, because it was before the move-in even happened, and then it was quickly kiboshed by like instantly. It's like we're not monsters.
I want to have that picture of my dog on the wall.
Right.
Like.
My cube neighbor has just everything, like fucking like LED lights and all kinds of shit all over his fucking cube. So. I can guarantee you that's not the case.
I can't wait to see the grand opening next week, man. I'm excited. I'm not going to lie.
Such an impressive building.
Dude, that facility is phenomenal. I mean, people can talk trash all they want about the USC. And even at the groundbreaking, I mean, I remember we asked Lorenzo about it. It was like, dude, I mean, listen, everybody's bitching about fighter pay, and you guys are building like this. Like, does this look good? I mean, so you can still have those arguments, you know, wow, was this wise, was not. But, dude, put all that aside and just say, like, it is beautiful, man.
Hey,
yeah.
I need a little something too, okay? You know? Fighters get stuff. I don't get nothing. Now I have a nice little cube space.
I like it. All right. Well, speaking of stories being confirmed that you know about and don't tell your buddies over here at MMA Junkie.
Asshole.
Dana White declaring that Bisping GSP is off. Romero's up next. I got to say, I want to ask you guys feeling on this too, because I can't even tell you how happy I am that this is the case, dude. Like, I'm sorry. I mean, cool that GSP is coming back, and I know he's a star, and I know he means pay-per-view buys, and he means success and all that. But, dude, I am so fine with this move. I mean, you announced this fight that makes no damn sense to begin with, and no disrespect to GSP, but it didn't make any damn sense that he came back and fight for the middleweight. Like, if he came back and you put him in a welterweight title fight, like, bro, sorry, Damian Maia, sorry, Masvidal, sorry, man, but GSP's back. We got to put him against Woodley right now.
Yep.
I'm cool with that. You know what I mean? This is the greatest welterweight of all time. I'm good with that, right? But to put him in a middleweight title fight never made any sense. But I was cool with it because, you know what, man? International Fight Week, it's kind of a sexy little headliner. Michael Bisping, man, he's been around the company for a decade doing what he does. He deserves the fight. Let's do this money fight for him. All right, man, we'll get it done and we'll move on. And then GSP says, whoa, I need November. I didn't say nothing about July. Now, I will say, I'm not mad at GSP because he sat there at the press conference that day and was like, I need November. And Dana at the press conference was like, I'm thinking more July. You know what I mean? It was like, so it's not like GSP lied or anything. You know what I mean? He seemed like he was pretty upfront about everything. So I'm not blaming GSP. I'm not saying that. I'm not pissed at him or anything like that. But I got to say, once he's saying, dude, I can't do it till November, move on. Move on, and I'm glad. I know we spoke with some Canadian journalists today. They were not so happy about the decision. They feel like, you know, GSP was getting kind of hosed or whatever. But, dude, I am so fine with this decision. And, you know, to me, I mean, I guess I feel kind of bad for Michael Bisping because I feel like GSP would be, and no disrespect to GSP, a way easier fight than Yoel Romero, dude. Like, I am sorry.
Yep.
Sorry about you, Mike, that you got to go fight Yoel Romero because that dude is a monster. I feel bad. But the other thing, the flip side of it, too, is that I kind of think maybe just clears the way for Anderson GSP. You know? And as weird as that is, I know it'd be like 5 years too late.
Yeah.
But Mayweather-Pacquiao was 5 years too late, and people still tuned in, right? And, I mean, I think GSP-Anderson is still a fight that people want to pay attention to. And Anderson, I don't think – I mean, I don't
that would be throwing Anderson a bone. He's been asking for something like that.
And I feel like Anderson doesn't need to be fighting like the top level guy. Not that he's not still relevant, not that he's not still talented, but he doesn't need to be fighting like number one contenders and title. I mean, dude, props to Anderson. We talked about last week that Anderson was like, "Yeah, I'll fight you well." Like, dude, okay, you know what I mean? But so anyway, I'm just saying, I am good with this decision. I am happy with this decision, and I hope it leads to GSP versus Anderson.
Regardless, I want to see GSP back. I wasn't a big fan of the fight. I was glad to see GSP come back. You know, I think it brings a little bit more star power back to the company. But besides that, yeah, I mean, I'm not butt sore with the fact that that particular fight, Bisping and GSP, I don't care. I think it was kind of funny in the first place. And they do way too much now of just putting these divisions on hold to let these people moonlight for these money fights. And it's just, it cheapens the sport. It cheapens what these fighters are going out there pushing and driving for. I've said that from day one. You know, I don't like how these guys, if you're a belt holder, if you're doing all this other stuff, you need to defend the belt against the guys that were doing just like you have been doing, working to get to the belt. You know, I understand. You know, you want these guys to do it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sore about it. I just want GSP back, you know, whether for a fight or a couple fights. I just want to see him fight somebody. I don't even care.
But not to put a title on hold, dude. And that middleweight division is so talented right now.
But I don't care if it's a title shot. Like, I don't need to see GSP's first fight to be a title shot for me to be happy. I just want to see him fight. If it's a catch-up welterweight fight, or if it's a, hey, guys, I'm trying to make the move into the middleweight, throw him a contender. Throw him something. You know, I think most number one contenders realize that if they got put the task of, hey, I've been knocking on the door, instead of fighting the number four guy, I could fight GSP, a legend that's coming back into the sport. And that, I mean, that'd be a huge, you know, plus on anybody's record that I think would help credit them going forward. And I think it would make a lot more sense. I think a lot of people would be like, all right, you're not killing division, you know, put it on hold for somebody that might ultimately be just moonlighting for one fight in the division,
exactly.
And that's it. You know,
can you imagine if he did beat Mike and then was like, oh, by the way, I'm going back to welterweight, so here's your belt, guys. Have fun with it. Like,
and that
could
happen. And that would be terrible for
the
division.
Or like, you know what, man, I enjoyed this, but I realize I like my time off more, so I'm retired again. You know, like,
How bad would that be? Yeah, it's like, yeah, if you want to come back, you say you want to fight again, but let's see how much you're really into it. If you take that title fight out of it, you know, and but whatever. I mean, but you're right. If he was saying he wanted it later, and the UFC was pushing, you know, they should have been a little bit more in line with the whole fact of he hasn't been saying. It's not like he changed his mind. He's like, I'm ready to fight in 2 months. You know, he's like, no, I need some time. You know, so it is what
still
it is.
Free promotion. You know, you GSP's back. GSP's back. Still not a bad play. You know, you got that at least a little bit of a drive for a fight that never happened. And I still like this Anderson possibility.
Obviously,
making matches here.
The next time you hear things, bro, don't forget about your boys.
Yeah.
Forget about your boys. Your job's not that important, bro.
No,
yeah.
Gainful employment is garbage.
You,
yeah,
we got you.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I feel like you guys are really
sore
about
that. We'll provide frosty beverages for you.
We don't have work for you, but we'll get
you
some. You
provide me Pabst Blue Ribbon. I'm a gin drinker.
Shut your mouth.
Gin drinker.
I see you drinking it right now, aren't you?
I can't help you with your rent. I can't help you with your utilities, but I'll make sure that you have plenty of frosty beverages. Just come.
Well, then you ain't getting no information.
Damn. We're too cheap to buy it.
All right.
We're too cheap to buy for our information.
Let's talk about the card a little bit. We talked about the main event. Yoenny and J-Chick, Jessica Andrade. We've been around him all week. I got to say, first of all, again, I think Yoenny's star is rising. I think the fact that she's moving to the States now, I think that means, dude, she's going to get so many more media opportunities and endorsement opportunities and things like that. I think we've all been fans of her, like, basically from the very first time. Fun to see. I mean, Kokafi, your very first event was for MMA Junkie, I should say, was when she won the title, right? And in Dallas, as a matter of fact. We put together that fantastic video of –
it's come full circle.
It's crazy. It's full circle. But I feel like she's about to explode. I thought she got awesome reception today. Jessica Andrade, I'm excited for this fight because I feel like Jessica has what you want if you want to beat Yoenny. You got to have that power. You got to have that aggression. You can't be scared to just run into a buzzsaw and swing back. So I love this fight, and I think there is some danger for Yoenny. But I do feel like Joanna's just a cut above. Have you you guys feeling the same there? Or is something about you, Jessica this week kind of setting you off and going, maybe she's here for the upset?
I have to say we've had a lot of ATT cats in the hot seat this week, and they cannot talk enough about how Joanna just metamorphosizes into like this kind of normal, like good person into a monster in the gym. And if you've ever seen her fight, you've seen that transformation.
Right.
Just at a weigh-in stare down, you've seen that transformation. And I believe she is a step above so many women right now that it would be a huge, huge thing for Jessica to come up above, because I don't know. I feel like Joanna is just
cut above, dude. She's
much
awesome.
Like, so, on so many levels.
We have the MMA Junkie rankings. We have a women's pound for pound ranking. We haven't unveiled it because there's only two divisions, and we weren't
right.
Sure. Now that 125 is going to be live, there's three divisions. I mean, technically four, but we know what's going on at featherweight. But so these rankings have never been made public, but we keep them so that like when it does go live, we have them. And we have Joanna ranked number one, pound for pound. I mean, Cyborg, you know, no disrespect to her. Obviously, she's a beast. She's a legend. You could maybe make the argument she's the greatest ever. But, you know, we're talking about a snapshot in time right now. And I think Joanna, Cyborg isn't facing top competition. You know what I mean? She's fighting, you know, kind of little bits and pieces here and there, fights that are put together. Joanna is facing, you know, the best every time out, the tops, and she looked fantastic. I think she's the best in the world right now, and man, I do think that Jessica provides a threat, but I just think that Joanna is a cut above, and she's so fun to watch fight. And
for me, that Claudia Gadelha fight was just a revelation. Because you just saw, there was a turn where Claudia was definitely, I feel like,
setting the pace early,
yeah.
Dominating.
And then you just saw Joanna find a third gear and just destroy. I mean,
like LeBron taking over, or Kobe, or Jordan, you know what I mean? Like those just hit a different gear and it's like,
right.
nope, you know what?
And then
still me.
Yeah, and then for the next like three rounds, she just destroyed Claudia, and it was like, wow. Like, I felt sorry for her being in there with Joanna, because I was like, can you imagine that? Can you imagine being ahead and then your opponent just, I don't know, miraculously
switches
rises,
gears,
yeah,
like, yeah.
And just destroys you? That
this was fun.
Yeah,
I'm ready to win now.
For me, that was like a true believer moment of this girl. She just,
she's awesome, man.
Yeah, she has something else.
She's special, that's for sure. Jessica, I mean, the only thing I was saying, that, and I said this earlier this week, something that we're seeing this week that we don't normally see from one of Joanna's fight is Joanna, the friendship, the respect that they have. I mean, I think Joanna has respect for all of her opponents, but we're not seeing that anger. We're not seeing that I have something, I want to prove something that I think we're not going to – I don't want to say we're going to not see as motivated – Joanna in this one as opposed to past ones, but there's already something separate from this fight. There's a history between the two. It wasn't a long history.
Here's what I think you're onto something there. Here's what I have in my mind, because the first time they came together, right? I mean, we've seen, well, like we saw in the embedded, they've been kind of cordial to each other,
yeah.
And that sort of thing, right? They used to have a former manager, Thiago Okamura, who still managed Andrade, was Joanna's. So they have a relationship. They trained together briefly. But at the media day, they did do a face-off, it was very polite. It was very polite, right?
And then what happened?
It was a hug. But here's the deal. I'm anxious to watch the ceremonial weigh-ins tomorrow, because I think Joanna is going to go into the traditional, like,
crouch down low.
In your face, crouch down low.
She'd have to get really, really low.
I know, she'd have to get really low. But I think I'm interested to see. I know it's just for show, and they make weight in the morning, so it's not like they're on edge. It's not like they're, you know, but I still enjoy the ceremonials. I enjoy the face-off. I hate the fake getting on the scale and all that stuff, but I still love the face-off.
Right,
I love that
yeah.
moment. And to me, there's a little bit of psychology there. Like, I think that – remember when Connor – like Eddie Alvarez, the whole build up like was good, you know, like whatever, man. Da-da. And then at the press conference, like you could see the moment where like Conor got in his head. You're like, oh, this fight's over, dude. Like you could literally see the moment. Yeah. Like I kind of feel like Joanna could have that psychological advantage. Like she could flip the switch on Jessica, because like I think right now Jessica's like comfortable and like, hey man, I'm believing myself and like, you know, look, she's being nice to me because she loves me and she trusts me and all, and she knows that I'm gonna be a great, and like, and she's like, yeah. And then I think Joanna, if she wants to, can flip the switch at the ceremonial weigh-ins and get in Jessica's head a little bit, and I'm hoping she does.
I will say that, I mean, obviously Jessica's a fighter, so she knows, she's expecting this. Like,
I agree.
I don't think
if it happens, I don't think it's gonna shake her like it does other people. I'm kind of thinking it won't happen.
It will happen.
It might. It's
so you're saying we get a repeat of
There's
going to
be no hug on
I think
weigh-ins.
I think if any, I'm
with you.
I could be wrong, but yeah, I think it's going to be more like Wednesday. But regardless, if it does happen, knowing Jessica and how tough she is, I don't think it's going to shake her. If anything else, it'll probably make it more real and give her more fire. She's certainly not going to be more afraid. It's not going to shake her. If anything else, it's going to make it real for her, because she's always been respectful.
But I think it'll give her that. It'll make her second guess a little bit, though. I don't want to intimidate her.
I think it'll make her more like, all right, we were friends and respect, but now I'm going to beat your ass.
Yes, fight.
You know, like, you want to take it like that? Now I was just going to beat you. Now I'm going to beat your ass. You know, like, and I if I had to put money down, it wouldn't be for Jessica.
I'm not going to lie, dude. That, yeah, of course.
But I think Jessica is going to go in there with every intention, and this is going to sound stupid, every intention to win. She's not just going in there trying to compete.
Right.
She believes that she can win, and she's going to go in there. And it would probably do Joanna a favor if she did do that and try to do it, because if anything else, now
it would be a favor for Jessica. I think the aggression
is going to
be against her.
She wants that, but because right now, if anything else, it's helping Joanna keeping it lighthearted, because – Jessica at this point probably is like, I'm going to go in, I'm going to compete, I'm going to have fun, I hope to win, and the best woman's going to win. But if Joanna flips that switch and starts going in the really crouched low and that ink, because there's a lot of venom when she goes and looks in that eyes, she can't be like, oh, this is a person I really, really respect, and get in their eyes. It's going to read in her eyes, so she has to sell it. If anything else, that's just going to put the fire into Jessica, and then you never know. But I just don't think it's going
to
happen.
That's the moment I'm looking forward to.
I actually think that for every fight, there, especially if two fighters actually have a cordial relationship, there has to be a demarcation point of we're fighting. I actually think about the fight between Cerrone and Henderson. Mm-hmm. I think it was back in WEC. Those two guys got along so well.
Yeah.
And they actually made a big point of the fact that they were like, yeah, you're cool, I'm cool. And to an extent that I thought like carried over far too
– Too far.
Yeah,
too
way
far.
Too far. And it benefits both fighters to actually have a moment where it's like, nah, motherfucker – you're my opponent. I'm gonna fuck you up. The guy who does it the best is Nate Diaz. The minute you sign the contract, you're my enemy.
Yep.
And like that's the right mindset to have.
You don't have to have that trash talk, but at the same time, like it does need to be clear. Like this is not a sparring session.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This is not money, friendly.
This is
for my career. This is for my fucking lifestyle. You are my opponent, and I don't care if I train with you or like you know. We are now opponents, and there definitely has to be a demarcation point. And I think the ceremonial weigh-ins is probably a good point to like say, like, hey, guess what? We're ratcheting it up. We told the public, hey, guess what? We're cool, but now we're going to fight.
I agree.
It's funny. This is actually going to play out in next week's tough episode, because you have Hader Hassan and Diego Lima. They're like buddies. They even actually said in the episode, like, don't pick us. They know if it had to happen, like, but we don't want it to be first. You know, let each one go in. And actually, Cody asked Hader, like, you know, you got this? Would this be you? And he's like, oh, man, be an easy fight. And ended up scheduling the fight.
Oh, wow.
They didn't want it to be first. And I won't say, because I've been privy to some little things, but that's the next episode. It's going to be that fight. But this is the situation.
I didn't catch this week's episode.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
So these are two guys that – so the whole time they're facing off in their little face-offs when they pick the fight, you know, the whole time Hader's like, bro, I love you. I love you. You know, yada, yada, yada. You know, and they were saying all these things. So here's two guys legit friends, training partners, or whatever, having to fight each other. But see, that's another one. When you say, like, at some point you got to realize, hey, we're fighting, they realize that they're going to fight. But I don't think out of something like that, you won't ever see somebody flip it past a certain point. And not to say that I'm not trying to compare, like, Jessica and Joanna's relationships even remotely
right.
close.
Right.
But I think there's still lines that can happen at some point where guys, like, I know my nature. I want to do this. But this is a friend. This is somebody that I'm going to, after this fight's over, I want to make sure that that relationship is preserved. Because at some point,
GSP, speaking of GSP, you always had the best line about this. You know, because there, you know, remember there was a time where, like, people were like, oh, I think Fitch and Koscheck should fight each other. You know, like, people, you know, people, training partners have to fight each other. Even Dana was like, I'm sick of this. Training partners won't fight each other. And GSP had the greatest one, man. He was like, listen, I don't see why the public is saying this. And he was talking about Nate Marquardt at the time, if I remember correctly. He's like, I understand why people say that we should be able to fight. He's like, but how do you understand? He's like, how do you not get that if I'm fighting my friend, you might not necessarily get the best fight? And because even if it's – whether it's consciously or subconsciously, it's like, let's say I get my friend down and I'm in mount. You know what I mean? I'm trying to finish the fight. And I know to do that, like, I've got to throw a fucking elbow, like, right in their face that's going to scar them potentially for life, that's going to destroy brain cells, you know what I mean? That's going to, like, impact them forever. Like, am I going to have that veracity and that, like, that, you know, intensity to do it? He's like, whether it be consciously or subconsciously, he's like, that's your friend. You know what I
right.
mean?
Yeah.
Like, maybe
it's
not.
It's absolutely unnatural to force people into that situation. Whereas – if you're tangentially, you know, friends.
Just kind of linked together.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you like this person, that's fine. But I think even for fans, like, they have to realize, yes, that you're probably not going to get the best, like, the most craziest fight.
You are
out
humans,
of a guy.
After all.
Right.
Right. Some
it'd be like me if me and Cole Coffey went at it. Like, I mean, it's finally
guys,
two athletes as we are.
You would destroy each other.
We'd have a heart attack before it started. First couple steps, I'd be like, I'm done.
Tap out before the glove touch. First time ever. Like, I'm not doing that. All right, well, I'm looking forward to that. I did want to ask you guys, dude, this is one, and it sucks, because I have done, like, this is a card that I think is getting a lot of appearance, attention, so I have done, like, quite a few, like, radio hits and stuff like that. And inevitably, you know, they want you to give a prediction or whatever. Of course, that's what we're here for, right? But, dude, Frankie Edgar versus Yair Rodriguez, holy shit, am I torn on that one, man. My official pick for the staff picks, I went with Yair Rodriguez. The dude is just on fire, and he's so big, man. He's so, like, tall and rangy.
He
like,
really
when
is.
They stood next to each other, it was like, I mean, not that Frankie's never fought somebody bigger than him. That's all he's ever done his whole life, right?
Yeah.
But Jesus Christ, like, Yair is so much taller, and he uses his range, and he uses his speed. Like, I feel like his speed, maybe it's not quite Frankie's speed, but I think maybe it is, and especially it's that youthful, like, crazy speed,
yep.
like, all. So, that said, like, dude, it's hilarious. I always say, you know, people are like, who's your favorite fighter? Who's your favorite fighter? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I interview all these guys. I know all of them. I have relationships. I don't know if I have a favorite. Now, Junior Dos Santos played my kid today. He's on the list now. He's up on the list.
He jumped way up
he's
there.
Way there. But Frankie Edgar would have to be one of those guys. It's like, I mean, you know, yeah. like, if you're like, if somebody was like, I've never seen MMA, like, is there somebody I should follow? I'd be like, bro, go get the Frankie Edgar collection and watch that shit. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
dude's just an awesome dude, great fighter. You know what I mean? So I feel almost bad picking against Frankie Edgar. Like, I almost feel guilty. Like, I don't want to look him in the eyes and be like,
yeah,
bro, I didn't go for
he's
you,
He's never
going
to play with your kid
no,
now.
Right.
Never.
By
never
doing that,
happen.
Though, you're playing to type, though. Like, because Frankie Edgar is the perennial underdog. Like,
right.
He's always voted against.
True.
The fact that he's probably, like, comfortable. If you actually said, oh, no, I pick him, he'd be like, fuck you. Like, fuck you. I'm an underdog, asshole. Don't jinx me.
Oh.
I'm going to go and destroy motherfuckers. But at the same time, though, I do love Yair's story. I am really anxious. I kind of like want
another budding star, right?
Yes. Like, you with these guys, kind of guys that are so, like, they have this trajectory, I want to see them, like, reach it. Which doesn't mean that I'm against Frankie. I see Frankie's the same kind of story. His story is more of that kind of, like, just like, I'm getting back there, the perennial underdog. It's a great matchup. You have this, like, rising
this
star against this, like, hungry veteran.
It's like, is this the moment? Like, you know, is it a little too early for Yair? Because I definitely don't think Frankie's on the decline. You know, it's not one of those
right.
where you're like, Well,
he's
we'll
not
find.
He's not a gatekeeper.
Yeah, we're not going to be like, you know what? We'll find out if Frankie still has this. No. We're not. We're just going to find. Like, Frankie has it. You know what I mean? He's not trying to prove anything. What we're going to find out is Yair ready for the top, for the very top. And, dude, just, oh, I mean, it's crazy as it sounds to know that you have two championship fights on the line. We already spent a lot of time talking about Damian Maia and Jorge Masvidal. What a fantastic fight that is. I might be as pumped for Frankie Edgar and Yair Rodriguez as I am for any fight in this card.
I mean, come on, guys. Come on.
Was that your Yair?
That was your Yair? After he grilled me the day.
Oh, he did grill you. Oh, that was great. Did you see this clip?
Come on,
guys. So we had a lunch at the new – I didn't get to go because it's my son's birthday. So I didn't get to go. But
it's the stuff of Legend.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Now there's the Yair. Hey, Yair, thanks for stopping by, bro. Appreciate that, man.
See you. Good luck this weekend.
It's kind of late, man. You got to be on the scales in a few hours, bro. Go and get some sleep. Thanks, bro.
Stop drinking beer.
But it was funny. Like, I mean, Cole Coffey just gives him, like, the setup question. Like, it's one of those ones where you're, like, trying to set it on a tee. Like, kind of like when I asked Vitor Belfort about TRT, you know, just trying to set it on a tee. And he's like, I'm going to kick your ass, you know. I shouldn't even bring that up. We're buddies now, dude. He's so cool.
He still wants to kill you.
He wants to kill me. He's like, I can't wait till I don't work for the USC anymore so I can kill you. He's like, Cole Coffey just tries to get him, like, the setup. He's like, you know, man, you know, Frankie, like, you know, do you think you can knock him out? Like, people, you know. He got pissed at you, dude. He was like,
literally felt like he was yelling at
me. He was like, come on, man. I'm not trying to say this is a stupid question, but this is a stupid question. He's like, what? Like he has something special in his chin? Like he's not made of.
His brain is made of iron or something?
So great.
It was awesome. I mean, I've always liked the guy regardless, but like it was like by the end, and I couldn't control myself, and I wondered how it looked because as like a journalist trying to get a sound bite, but also just trying to like – I'm so used to still like I want them to look as good as they can, say as good as they can. So I'll throw him a softball and be like, here you go, bro. Say about how you're just going to destroy this dude. But he took it like sort of personal and was just like, you know, what? I've never been knocked out until I was knocked out. Like, why is he so special? I mean, it just starts looking with these eyeballs at every media person that was in there. But I felt like that was starting to yell. And then in my head, I'm like cataloging everything he's saying. I'm like, wow, this is good. This is getting better. Then I started to smile. And I couldn't help, but I started smiling.
He's like, are you smirking at me?
And I think it drove him even more. Then, so by the end, he's just like,
oh, it's funny.
Come on, guys.
You find me funny? You find me funny like a clown?
I'm going to stab you. But it was incredible, and he went on later on after, you know, and said something to Okamoto. Brett was like, you know, I felt like I got scolded. I was like, I know, but wasn't it great? So Yair's been on fire, man. He is so focused and so sharp. And you're right, you know, nothing against Frankie. It's not like we're like, oh, we've moved on, Frankie. You know, we're on Team Yair, but it's the kid has dialed it so good together. When you look at the size difference, it's hard to, I mean, as much as talent, and Frankie definitely isn't dwindling by any means. He's still as tough as nails. Dude just does not get finished.
Right.
But you got this guy coming in with so much size and so much focus, and he's just, at some point, just like Gary said, that you've never been knocked out until that first time.
Well,
until you do get knocked out.
Yair, you know, you talk about that size. Like, Yair's size is like that John Jones size, you know, because he uses, you know, spinning attacks and crazy angles. Yeah. So it's not like he's like, well, he has a long reach in the pocket.
And then once in a while. It's like you constantly
see attacking
it.
You from halfway across the cage because he's rolling at you and spinning at you and – but it's Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped for this fight.
Yeah,
I am so pumped for this fight.
Great.
I do want to say David Branch versus Christoph Jocko was the fight that got elevated to the main card. Not a lot of people talk about this fight. I wanted to try to talk to David Branch this week. His first post-World Series of Fighting fight. I guess I can say his manager, Ali Abdelaziz, actually, we had been in conversation, told me that David Branch was actually pulled from this card briefly with a medical issue. And it turned out to be a doctor, like, misread an exam. And I wanted to talk to David about this and kind of find out. I'm curious. I mean, you know, for a couple of days at least, he was off this card. And it never got made public and it never got talked about. But I'm kind of interested. Like, did that affect his preparation? Did it affect his mindset? You know, he's coming back to the UFC. I don't know. I'm anxious to see how that one plays out. Eddie Alvarez versus Dustin Poirier. I mean, just sick fight there. on the FX prelims. Just, I mean, that's insane that that's a prelim fight. I'm anxious for this fight. This is another big fight at lightweight. Eddie Alvarez looking to recover from that loss to Conor McGregor. Dustin Poirier actually coming off a win over Jim Miller, but that was kind of a battle, and that was back in February. That was not that long ago. That scares me a little bit, man. But this is a big one. I love this fight, too, because this is a prelim fight that's not only two very recognizable names, but real stakes in division. They're both meaningful. And do Dustin, for all of his victories, every time he gets right where he wants to be, he comes up a little bit short. You know what I mean? And I feel like this is such a big fight for both guys. Eddie trying to rebound and bounce back from that, you know, devastating loss to Conor McGregor. Dustin trying to prove that he literally is, you know, an elite level fighter. Beating a former champion would do that. I love this fight, dude.
It's a great fight. And these guys, both of them are very impressive. Talked to actually both of them in the hot seat today, and Dustin seemed really, really calm, really cool.
Right.
And I don't know, I can't say too much about these guys. I am surprised. It's a prelim fight, though.
I know, right? It's crazy. It is fight, too, because – and I know that, you know, the UFC is trying to hook up their broadcast partners, like, let's give you a good fight. Because I know a lot of people said, well, hold on, man. You lost Cejudo and Pettis. Why wouldn't you elevate Alvarez and Poirier? Instead, they went with Branch and Jocko. Like, no disrespect to those guys, but – you know, Branch and Jocko, for as talented as they are, they're not the names that Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier are. So I saw a lot of people saying, why wouldn't you put that on the pay-per-view? But, you know, they had that commitment to their broadcast partners at FX. Let's give you that. So I'm good with that. I love that fight. I love this fight, too. Jason Knight versus Chaz Skelly. God damn, I love this fight. We didn't get to talk. This is the first Jason Knight fight that we haven't talked to our boy in forever. Yeah. I love him, dude. He is fantastic. And then Chaz Skelly is a guy that's coming into his own with his own little trash talk as well. And obviously, we've become Jason Knight fans, man. Yep. That dude is just fun, man. I like him and his team. The crew that rolls with him is awesome.
Team is very, very funny. I mean, the dude, what was it? It was after his fight. Where were we? Was that we had like the beers in the club?
Oh, that narrows it down.
I know, that was stupid. Was it Melbourne? Where was the last time that he fought?
It had to be Melbourne.
I want to say it was Melbourne, but yeah, it was like he was in the club afterwards, and the team was just so cordial and so funny, and it was just like he seemed so out of place.
It was Melbourne because we missed his last fight. Me and you weren't there for his last fight, which was in Chicago, I think.
Okay.
But Melbourne was.
But yeah, I just remember like the team because he had this one. I think one of his corner guys in there had like the plaid cutoff shirt. You know, not that we ever look like we're in a place. You know, in the right place in a lot of these clubs. But it was like a. It was
Should
like
we
a nice
tell people
bar.
That as we're recording this right now, you're sitting there in a wife beater.
Well, yeah, you know. I'm surprised you guys haven't said anything already.
But I'm just, so used to it, I didn't say anything. But since you brought it up, I figured we might as well share it with
the
world.
We're gonna critique clothes, and we might as well, you know. Dude, I'm the original. I'm the third Hick Diaz right here. What? But no, he's just funny, and then, like, I remember I loved it because he had fought, and then it was just like hanging out in the bar, you know, having drinks and having beers and just talking stuff. And it's like every interview we've done with him, he's always just been open and just funny, mm-hmm. you know, and just focused. And with that accent, man, I just fucking pull for it, man. Like,
it's the best.
You know, then coming to Texas now and hearing all the accents. I don't know. Maybe I pull for subconsciously fighters with accents because it's just different. But no, man, that should be a really, really fun fight. And
I mean, Skelly is, I mean, a little bit underrated. The only guys he's lost,
it could go
to,
either way.
He's
it
lost to Darren Elkins, Mirsad Bektic. I mean, both those guys are yeah. beasts. So yeah, man, I'm loving that. I mean, that's we didn't even get to talk to those guys.
It sucks that
we didn't book any extra interviews this week like we normally do.
Yeah,
because
we would have definitely.
We would have. And normally we do some sit downs, we do some extras. We didn't because, you know, obviously I had my family and I guess I was being
and
a little
took
bit
the
selfish.
Red eye. Well,
and
I came in. I took the
well,
red eye trying to save some dollars.
We were trying to save some money, but we didn't book the extra time either because, like, basically, I knew that I needed to see my mom and dad, and I needed to spend time with my family. So.
And if and it's funny because speaking of your mom, If you watch the video, well, actually, you didn't watch the one. If you watched,
I thought that was a setup.
I'm not saying my special video I have. But you'll see if you see some of the video where you see Junior playing with Eli, John's son, and doing the little boxing thing. That right at the end moment when Junior stands up to like start walking away, you see your mom push this shirt out to get a signature because she's like in the media area, and I love it because she was like, she's so on it, no shame, was just like, oh hey, by the way, sign this thing, and it was incredible. So if you want to see mom or John's mom, just like sort of like doing what no media is really ever supposed to do from a media area. I loved it, though.
She has no shame.
But she is a character. But she's also the one that she made sure when it came around to your birthday, she hit me up, sent me a message on Facebook or something, was like, make sure you buy John a drink for me. I was like, there you go. Good job, mom. My mom's never fucking texted anybody to say, buy my son a drink. So come on, mom.
Step it up. That's what's up.
You shit on your stepfather last one, when we were back in Vegas. Yeah. Now you're shitting on your mom.
Did I shit on him? Oh, yeah. I probably did.
Love you, fam.
Yeah.
Love you, fam.
Love
you all.
Love you, fam. All right. Listen, real quick. James Vick, we talked to him last week, fighting against Marco Polo Reyes. I'm excited for that fight. That could be fun. And then you get to – got four fights on Fight Pass. It's gonna be a full nine fights. Not 14 fights. 13. It was supposed to be 14. We lost one. We had 13. So I love this card. Top to bottom, it really is good. Rashad Coulter. I should say we were over at Fortis MMA earlier.
Yeah, that's a
Fortis
big dude.
Beautiful, beautiful facility. And Rashad Coulter, big dude. He's lost his job, lost his day job, but got the call up to the UFC like a week later. You know what I mean? So the Lord works in mysterious ways.
I like how you got on.
He takes your job
quiet.
Away.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. It just sounded like such a cheesy line. I forgot to throw it out there.
But I like how you delivered it like that. It was like subtle. Like,
all right. So before we head out, because obviously we got some editing to do.
No, man.
You do.
I'm just gonna.
This
keep
podcast
sitting.
Might
I'm
not.
Gonna, I'm just gonna
podcast
keep sitting
might
here
not
my fucking
ever
wife beater.
Might not ever see the light of day. As tired as Cool Coffee is. I did. You know, I don't know that we'll
you
do
busted me on my wife beater. By the way,
I heard.
In the bathroom.
No, I heard from the bathroom.
Does, okay.
Hey, his voice carries.
Not quite like yours, no. But it's there. You know, I don't know that we'll do a full conspiracy corner this week because we're kind of putting you on the spot.
Oh yeah.
But
we might run into the 4-hour segment if we do.
But being in Dallas as we are, I believe you, the conspiracy captain of the world, did kind of make your way over to the JFK assassination site. Certainly not the greatest thing Dallas should be known for is murdering presidents.
Regicide.
But it is a big part of American history and certainly Dallas history. Did you take anything from your experience over there at Dealey Plaza?
I did. It was kind of a pilgrimage. For anyone that actually appreciates conspiracies in America, you have to make a visit to that site because I feel like that really was the birth. Now, I had a friend on Facebook that actually said that there is a conspiracy that Booth was killed in the barn before, blah, blah, blah. So,
like he wasn't even there?
Right. So there's apparently a conspiracy.
So do you think that was grounds? Well, I hate using the term ground zero. That's bad. You kind of touched on it there before you go. Do you think that was like the first? Were you suggesting that's kind of the birth of the conspiracy theory?
Modern conspiracy theory, I think, in America was born
started
that
there.
Day.
Okay,
and I think even like contemporaneously, when you see the 9/11 issue, like with 9/11 conspiracy stuff, how that evolved. Mm-hmm. So we had a set of facts the day of, and then it steadily became like there was doubt. And I can easily see how that happened with JFK. I felt it was a very illuminating experience going down there. I actually, because there are X's on the road, that's Elm Street, that goes down under the overpass, and there are two X's actually printed on the road. I thought those were put on there for historical reference.
They are not. They are not. They are local people such as yourself who like to you know, historians, documentarians, and conspiracy theorists alike who put those X's down. And they used to, like, from my understanding, is they used to, like, try to take them up, like, the, you know, the authorities were. They just show right back up. So they're like, just fuck it, I guess.
Which I love. I absolutely love that. Yeah. And there actually is I took a picture on my
And the X, you know, when I was a kid, there was only one X. Now, you told me this, so you actually informed me there's two X's now.
There
because
are two.
The one X that was always there from the time I remember when I was a kid is the one X is basically supposed to mark essentially – the point of impact, where JFK was at the point of impact.
Right. And I don't remember it. This is where I'm bad on this, is that were
the
there
second
two,
one is
were there
just
two
like
shots?
X.
I thought there was one shot that hit his head.
Well, I guess that depends what theory you
But
believe.
Then there's actually the magic bullet. So maybe there were two
shots.
No.
Yes, because even if you believe the documented facts, so to speak, he did get off multiple shots.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the first
three
shot.
Three maybe even. But two well, landed. But two landed, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's still, yeah, two markers. And at the second marker, there was this – apparently he's a legend in Dallas conspiracy theory because this guy has staked his claim right at this spot. And he basically – anyone that comes, he tells you the truth. And he has pictures and he has a – like not a booth, but it's like right. a table, a little pull-out table.
He's
and
got some materials to sell you.
He wasn't trying to sell anything, actually.
No?
He was just trying to sell the truth.
Look what you did there.
Yeah, exactly. And it actually, it marks the trajectory of the bullets and, you know, the claims of, like, this is where these bullets came from. So, obviously, he hits in the back of the head. He just moves forward,
right.
blah, blah, blah. But it was – I felt I had to make it. Like I've actually been to Dallas, I think, twice now, and I've never been there. And so this time I'm like, luckily the UFC was actually – the host hotel was in the city, and the walk was just like 20
Yeah, because you've always been at the Anatole before, which is you got to get in a cab or
right.
an Uber or whatever.
And usually when I get off work, it's so late that it's not really – you're never going to see anything.
Right.
But this time it was like I got off at, what, 6?
Still
it's
daylight.
Yeah,
outside.
Still daylight. You're getting dusk, and I'm like, I'm making this fucking. I'm running. I'm
so did you reach any conclusions?
Absolutely not. I will admit, for someone who is actually that loves weird, strange shit, the JFK assassination conspiracy has never ever resonated with me. I stick with the conclusions with – I guess the rational conclusions, which sounds stupid because I believe so in many
if
irrational
Cicada
things.
Posted a post
if
about they,
if Cicada 3301 basically said like that JFK was a conspiracy, I would believe it 100%, and I would change my mindset. But because they haven't yet, I'm still kind
if
of like –
it was the JFK Bears or the JFK Bears.
Right.
Don't be sure. All right. Well, listen – that's going to do it for us this evening. I see my producer over there and his wife beater falling asleep.
Just his furrowed brow. Just.
I was looking at pictures of the spot, the Kennedy thing, and I'm looking at this old picture. There's only one X.
That's what I'm saying. When I was
only one X.
It's the Berenstain Bears. We live in a 2X world, people. Alternate universes.
You're going to get me kicked out of this place. But you're right. I agree with the Berenstain Bears thing.
The Berenstain Bears.
No.
I like it.
Was it Baird or
I'm
Beers?
I'm a big fan of the Berenstain Bears.
But, yeah, I mean, according to these pictures, and this is Wiki, which means it does not lie.
It's totally true.
Yeah, I mean, they fact check everything.
Yeah.
But one of the pictures, it only shows a spot.
Wait, you didn't believe me? You had
No, I believe you. I'm just saying.
I don't believe you.
But there was somebody else the other day arguing that he always remembered too.
Oh,
this was
another
long time, like Dallas.
That
person.
Is true. Somebody was arguing.
Somebody
with me
was
the
saying
day.
That they remembered
I
two
will
spots.
Say, let me see this
They're
picture.
Liars.
Let me see this picture.
Filthy liars.
Is it the full road? Because one is much much closer to the book depository.
I'd have to go.
See,
there's one, but here's this is the one I was looking at.
That is actually where I took my picture, and there's a one further down, about 50 feet. From that first X.
Scintillating radio right now as we point out something visually.
Yeah.
This is 2008 when this picture was taken, 2008.
Oh, great. So we're talking about a 9-year-old
This
photo.
Other picture that's on this site here is further down the street. So if you look at this picture, that
no,
one's
that's
closer.
Not even close.
No, this isn't the other one. So look at this one by the light lamp.
I'm looking at,
look at this
a picture of the Book Depository.
Make sure you're looking
and
at this.
He's referring to a picture.
It's actually a picture of my penis.
It is. And it has a bunch of X's on it for some strange reason.
I got your Book Depository right here.
I got your Book Depository right behind it.
Officially died today.
And this is the last edition of the MMA Roadshow ever. All right, listen. Hey, UFC 211, it's going to be dope in the morning. Just a couple hours. It's not even the morning. Just a couple of hours from now will be the official weigh-ins. You know we got you covered, MMA Junkie. So at whatever volume you chose to take in this particular podcast.
11!
Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.